You have your Bibles. Mark chapter 3 will be our text for the night. Mark chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. If you don't, it'll be on the screen. But Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea. And a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude. When they heard the many things that he was doing, came to him. So he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. For he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. You know, on several occasions, Jesus had to deal with tremendous crowds of people. And they weren't trying to hurt him. They were just trying to get close to him. Some just wanted to touch the hem of his garment, thinking that it would bring them some great blessing. And we know that on one occasion, at least, it did. But Jesus, on this particular occasion, was really trying to get away from the crowds. And so he retreated to the sea. But the multitude still followed him. And we read in other places throughout the Gospels that crowds followed Jesus everywhere he went. And he would try to escape them just to rest and to get away. And we all do the same thing, don't we? Sometimes we get so marred down in our work and our activities. Sometimes we just need to set it aside to get away for a while and to regroup and recuperate from all of the work that we do. And this is what Jesus is doing here. You know, and even though he would try just to get away to rest, they would still follow him. And there were reasons for this. Jesus was very popular during this time. And tonight I want us to take a look and discuss some things that caused the crowds to follow him everywhere that he went. Because he created quite a commotion while he was here on earth. So let's talk about that. And maybe as a result of this, we can better understand why we need to follow him today, as these people followed him when he was walking the earth. First of all, we follow Jesus because of who he is. You know, when celebrities go out, they usually are mobbed by people because of who they are. And if they want privacy, they have to conceal their identities, and they have to, maybe if they're traveling to a different city, they check into hotels under assumed names, because if people know they're there, they will recognize them immediately and basically mob him or her just because they want to get close to them. I know that back in the late 60s and the early 70s, in Huntsville, Alabama, they had just built a new civic center there that would seat and house about 15 to 20,000 people. And in the late 60s and 70s, Elvis would come to Huntsville two or three times a year to do concerts there. And when he come into town, he would send decoy airplanes into the airport with the time that he was supposed to arrive. And he would actually not come in at that point in time, but he would literally fly in the middle of the night just so he could get there and keep from being seen. And then when he got there, he would rent out the entire Hilton Hotel so that only people that would come into that hotel were the ones who were supposed to be there. And it has been reported that when the Beatles came to America, that they were actually overrun by the people both in New Orleans and in Kansas City. These people even ran up on the stage just to get to them. Again, not to hurt them, but because they wanted to get to them, and it did create a tremendous amount of difficulty for them. The two most popular names in entertainment, no doubt. But they were not free to move around as they wanted to because of who they were. When Jesus was being followed, it was because of who he was. Who was he? Well, he was the Son of God. He was the Son of God in the flesh. Peter made this statement in Matthew 16 and verse 16, and it became known as the Christian statement of confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We know that he was with God during creation. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing that was made was made. He was also known as a good man. In fact, Peter, in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, talking to Cornelius, talked about Jesus and said that he was one who went about doing good. We know that Jesus was a great teacher. In fact, Nicodemus came to him and in his discussion with Jesus recognized him as a teacher that came from God. But yet, he was more than these things. He was deity. He was literally God on earth. And Jesus said to the Jews in John 14 and verse 9, if you have seen the Father, you have seen me. He was the builder of the church. He was the Savior of the body. He is the Savior of you and me today. And we follow him because of who he is, the Son of God. We also follow Jesus because of what he did. Jesus did a lot during his short period of time on this earth. We read about it through the four Gospels, and Paul, Peter, James, John, the other writers of the New Testament made mention of all the wonderful things that Jesus did while he was here. He healed the sick. He cast out the demons. He raised people from the dead and did many other works. He fed thousands at a time. He even did common everyday things, even as simple as washing other people's feet. He did wondrous works while he was here. And we know that he taught great lessons to the multitudes. And he also evangelized a lot one-on-one. We have reference on several occasions where Jesus met with one person to teach that person. And these things are reasons why we follow Jesus, because of the things that he did. But you know, the greatest reason that we follow Jesus today is because of what he did on the cross and what he did at the gravesite. For you see, it was on the cross that Jesus' blood was shed. In John 19, verse 34, it says that one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. This, of course, was a fulfillment of a Old Testament prophecy that we find in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, where it says, I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for the first blood. You see, it was only the blood of Jesus that could wash away sins. You know, Jesus in Matthew 26 and verse 28, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, this is my blood of the new covenant which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, Paul echoes these words in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. He said, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So you see, without his blood, there could be no hope for us. There would be no forgiveness of sins, and there would be no heaven waiting for us, no salvation. And we follow Jesus because of his blood and what it did for us on the cross. And when he came forth from the grave, he showed the world exactly who he was. In Acts 17 and verse 31, he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. It was when Jesus walked out of that tomb that everyone knew why he was here, what he was doing, and what he did for us. By his work on the cross, he took our place. He suffered a death that we were all supposed to suffer. And now we are forgiven. And we will not have to suffer eternal death because of Jesus Christ. And it was also here that he purchased the church that we have and that we are a part of today. So by coming forth from the grave, he conquered death and he assured mankind of our own resurrection at the end of time. And we follow him because of what he did for us. And then finally, we follow Jesus because of what he can do. Just what is it that Jesus can do? Well, Jesus can justify those who call upon him. You know, justification and forgiveness was something that the old law just simply could not offer. It was never designed to forgive man. It never had the power to offer forgiveness or to justify man or redeem man and give him salvation. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4, "For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins." But we do know that the blood of Christ could, because it was the perfect blood, the perfect sacrifice from the perfect man, the man of God, the Son of God. Romans 5, verse 9, "Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Jesus cleanses us from our sins, and not only that, this cleansing is a continual cleansing. 1 John 1, verse 7, and I love this verse, tells us that it's not just a one-time deal where the blood of Christ cleanses us. It is something that goes on and on and on in a daily way. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And that, my friends, is a continual cleansing. That's what he can do for us. He can initially cleanse us from our sins when we obey the gospel of Christ. But he can cleanse us again when we fall and when we falter. And every one of us fall and falter in trying to follow him. But his blood will continuously do that for us. And he does something for us that no one else and nothing else could possibly do. The crowds followed Jesus because they needed him. We follow Jesus today because we need him. We follow him because of who he was. We follow him because of what he did. And we follow him because of what he can do. We follow him because we need his love, we need his compassion, and we need his forgiveness. Indeed, Jesus is the answer to all of our problems. He is the Savior of all of our souls. My friends, if you have never followed him, you need to follow him now. You need to hear the word that has been given to you about Jesus Christ. You need to believe that word. You need to repent of your sins, and you need to make changes in your life to follow God instead of following the ways of the world. You need to confess the name of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as we talked about earlier that Peter did in that great confession. And then you need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And if you have not done that, today is the day to do it. And you need to follow him in doing that. And Christian, if you have stopped following him, you need to return to him and follow him once again. We do this because of who he is, what he did, and what he can do for us. So tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ, please come while we sing this song.